Hey everybody, welcome back to your favorite podcast, Triplicity, where your Astro Bessies, Deja, Jared, and Astrologon talk about the astrology of the times and talk shit. In this episode, we'll be talking about Sagittarius season 2023. So buckle in, let's get going. Welcome back. We're back. We're here. We're queer.
We're back from hiatus. Again.
Again.
And this episode should actually go out before the season that we recorded about. Not Taurus season during Gemini season. I do love that Gemini season was our last forecast. Or no, Taurus season was our last forecast,
was our last
right?
One.
We recorded Gemini season, but I don't think it ever got
posted.
Released. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, wow. I think so.
Yeah. There's also like another one sitting in your computer somewhere that we recorded.
They're all uploaded. They're all on the Anchor.
Oh, they site. Are?
They just aren't edited. So one day if we're feeling yeah, feeling dangerous, we can just post that without editing and reap the consequences.
When our eventual Patreon develops and we post unedited things, then absolutely. For the folks listening, Deja literally just woke up.
That's right.
I guess I'm yawning.
It is 11:49 a.m. Eastern time. We're finally in standard time. Eastern standard time. One of my biggest fucking pet peeves is when people don't know the difference between daylight and standard time.
EDT and EST.
Say,
yeah.
Yeah, and they just say standard all the time. And I'm like, no, we are
no
now,
idea.
We are now in standard time. Yes. Daylight time is over the summer. Standard time is now.
Wow.
Yeah. I personally think that the summertime should be the standard and we should never go back.
I like
because
that.
I don't like the short days. Like, I wouldn't mind the sun
not
coming
rising
up
until 8 a.m.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. Ooh. I don't like the sun going down at 4 o'clock p.m.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, for you, you're in an interesting spot because of like how high your trees are and shit everywhere. Like you, I feel like you experience sunset like earlier than it actually is almost.
Yeah, well, yeah, because we're surrounded by mountains on east and west,
yeah,
right? So like the sun just goes down earlier and we're farther north than even like New York and the, you know, the East Coast states are. So it's like we're noticeably farther north.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, like it gets, I mean, 4:18 is sunset.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
It sounds horrible.
What time is sunset here right now? It's definitely later than that. I mean, when I was
4:30,
when I was living in Vermont, it was bad. Like there were days close to like the Capricorn ingress. Okay. For us, it's 4:26. So I guess it's not that different.
Yeah. It's not that different, but it's like, that's too early.
It's too early. Yeah.
If you work a 9 to 5, early. The sun is down.
Yeah.
When you leave work.
Yeah.
So it's like, I would rather the sun be down when I'm going to work and up when I'm awake and off work.
Yeah. That's
true.
Because my work schedule is so erratic, it actually doesn't fucking matter to me because I'm either getting up at 4 or going to bed at 4 any given day.
Damn.
Back when I worked 4 a.m., I liked the earlier
the
time
early
because it was like, oh, I get out of work and
at one.
Like,
yeah.
Like we've still got some daylight. It's fine. And the sun has gone down earlier. So it's easy to go to bed at 8 p.m. when you need to fall asleep at 8 p.m. to wake up at 2.
To wake up at 3. Yeah, exactly.
Damn. Oh, shit. Sorry. I don't know if you guys heard that. My mic just fell back.
Heard you yell, oh shit, that's all we heard.
Sorry. That sounds horrible though.
How has the astrology been treating all of you? Let's see. It's
the new moon.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Oh god. That was bad. I was just crying all day and I was just sad all day. That really sucks. So I'm a little nervous for this Kazemi on Saturday.
Yeah.
I'm nervous. I actually
It's on
have,
Saturday.
I think it's on Saturday. I'm pretty sure. When I have something to
no,
do
sounds,
on Saturday
that
night.
That sounds right.
It's like The thing about Mars is it's like a 2-day, 2.5-day event.
Yeah.
Because I know that there's a nice Mars election, if that's your thing.
Just don't do it on a plane.
Yeah.
During the day.
I'm crying.
You know, the Kazemi is happening and the moon is at Mars's exaltation degree.
Yikes.
In Capricorn.
With Pluto. Sorry,
with,
I know
with Pluto.
I know we don't see her.
I fucking did.
But like, damn.
Yeah, it's like if you want an activated Mars, like
she's your girl.
Like,
I don't know. I haven't decided like if I'm like nervous because I'm just like, damn, like this feels like something I really should, you know, utilize. Because like we're not going to get this again. Just as a Mars ruled person, I'm like, damn, maybe I should do that. But the last time I did Mars magic, not good things happened. So like maybe I shouldn't. But I also like have been so sluggish and like so like just bleh, and I'm like, I really need to like awaken.
Yeah,
I'm nervous.
I'm just not sure if Scorpio is an awaken.
That's true.
Sign.
Yeah.
Right. Like Scorpio Mars like puts you into an eternal slumber. Like that's
like I'm killing you.
Yeah.
I'm crying.
Like gives you a potion that like you know makes you you know sleep for 100 years. That's
yeah.
I really can't find it though, like the exact one. Like they're always like within like a minute of each other.
Yeah.
But like I can't find it.
You just like keep clicking forward. And they...
Yeah. Yeah, it's Saturday. It's the 18th. Is the 18th on Saturday? I think so.
Yes.
Yes.
What time?
Mine says 1:33 a.m.
Yeah. So Mars night.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah, because it'll be Friday night.
Oh, uh-huh. Shit. Damn.
That's why I kind of liked that. Like, if you want to do something Mars,
this is the time.
The thing that I don't like about that election, and we talked about this in our group chat with Zach, is that the moon's at the southern bendings.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't know if I would maybe do, if I had a really serious Mars practice, I would maybe do some sort of like action, but maybe not talisman.
I was thinking about it. And the moon is at the southern bending, meaning it is at the lowest point it's going to be, right? Mm-hmm. And K2 is, which is the southern part, is mm-hmm. like Mars in mm-hmm. nature. So I mm-hmm. don't think it's actually that bad of a, it's not ideal, but it's way better than it being at the northern bending and it being
right.
with like of the nature of Saturn, like Rahu.
Yeah.
Mm. So I don't think it's like that inhibiting. I was talking to Zach about it.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that those, yeah, seeing that like K2 is like Mars and then like kind of, but again, like it all is like, what is your intent?
What's the goal? Right.
Of your practice. Like, because like the transit is activated, like,
mm-hmm.
and the moon activates the transit, right? Like, so the transit is mm-hmm. like, it's a hot wire, right? But it like,
you what are you plugging it into?
Yeah, like
yeah.
This isn't shady, so we don't have to pause. But I'm in this like magic and talisman Discord group.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Kara is in it, and someone was talking about trying to make a talisman for Rahu. And
yeah, that doesn't sound.
And me and Kara were both like, do not make a physical object for a shadow being. Yeah, basically. I was like, do not make something physical for an object that has no mass. Like, you can like do things with the nodes, but like, do not make a talisman. That is a bad idea. Just like blanket advice, do not make a node talisman. You can do nodal remediation. And in fact, I recommend everyone does nodal remediation, but do not make a talisman.
You know,
I have
people
a, I have...
really be making permanent objects out of any sky.
We have in my right outside of my backyard, we have a nodal like sacrificial pit, basically. That was there's this like old foundation of a house that never got built right outside of like the edges of our property. Oh, our cool. property, my landlord's property. And so when I need to do things with the nodes, I throw things into that like pit.
That's love nice.
Because that. it's not where I live. It's like just outside. So it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's not connected to
distance.
Me. And yeah. I'm like, it's outside. Yeah. It's over the fence. Like my dead plant and like some other things that have been sacrificed are over there.
Yeah. It sounds quite destructive. And weird.
And weird. It's getting weird.
Getting weird.
I'm like not a talisman maker, you know? Like that's maybe part of it. But I just like, we don't need one every single time that something happens. You know?
Yeah.
Like we can just experience the sky without encapsulating it forever.
Yeah.
Shall we start Sag season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. November 22nd.
When
fresh
is that?
Off of the Kazemi. That's next Tuesday.
Week from
holy shit.
Next Wednesday.
Holy shit. Oh, and oh wow, interesting. Oh, so the day before Thanksgiving starts, Sag season starts. Look at that. Come together, everyone. That's not fun.
Come
that's
together
gonna
on
suck.
A Sun Saturn square.
Square, yeah. Like, that's awful.
Come together on a Mars Saturn square.
Oh dang. Thanksgiving's gonna like be 2 days so later. Yeah. Uncomfortable. Oh my god.
Especially for us mutable rising girls. Yeah. Angles.
Oh crap.
Yeah.
Dang.
Sun freshly into Sag and then squares Saturn on that day at 0 degrees of Sag. Almost at 1 degree.
I'm glad that the mutable signs like get it at the beginning and it's just like fuck it, we're done.
Get it over with.
You just get it over with. But damn. It's gonna be really bad. Not really bad, but it's gonna suck really sadly now that Mars is in Sag for this time period. So I actually have the moon in Pisces applying to Mars and separating from Saturn in my solar return chart. So God bless me.
Wait, you have the moon. Sorry, what is happening in your solar return?
I have the moon in Pisces. What would that be? After the new moon?
Yeah,
a few days after the new moon. The moon's in Pisces at like 17, exactly square Mars, because I think Mars is at like 17. So yeah, that's going to be a good... That's going to be fun.
Bless. Maybe you should do some Mars magic on the Kazemi.
I think I would too.
The please don't hurt me prayer is always a good...
Yeah. Spare me, daddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm crying. I think I'm going to be like, listen, like relax a bit, but also
listen girly.
Yeah.
let's sit down. Let's have a coffee. Let's talk.
Yes, absolutely. I am excited though for just Mars and Sag in general versus Mars and Scorpio. Yeah. I feel like it's a lot more like active and just like, fuck it, we ball. So I'm excited for that. Just like, you know, no one's checking them except for Saturn at the beginning. But, you know, Jupiter is not there to help.
Yeah, Jupiter's not present.
There's not,
you're getting a square from Saturn. I think the sun is there. So you have that.
It's true.
Triplicity, Lord of Fire. That's the only kind of dignity lordship that Mars is going to receive during this time. Is that co-presence with a triplicity lord. So yeah, it is kind of like feral Mars.
Feral is true.
Yeah, the lack of aspect to Jupiter is like very, not inhibiting, but like Mars and Sag is already very like, bah. And then not having view
Jupiter to like...
It's like a 17-year-old like boy, like when the parents aren't home for the weekend. Like that's
yes. Yes. Someone came in to check on him at the very beginning and said, hey, make sure you brush your teeth and wash your face
and don't
today.
Burn the house down. And he's
right.
Like,
mm-hmm. And then after that, for the rest of the month, he's just having parties every day. Not good parties.
No.
But he's trying his best. Oh. Yeah. Hmm. I'm interested to see what Mars, even though Mars is like, you know, very combust and still invisible, it'll be really interesting to see how that works out with Mars being not visible and not a dignity. So maybe it is. Oh, maybe there's a lot of trouble going on. He's getting to a good chunk of trouble, and we don't know until, because doesn't Mars like become visible again in Capricorn? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. It doesn't become visible again until Capricorn.
Is it Capricorn or is it the very, I know Capricorn season. I can't remember. Is the sun far enough along in Capricorn before it happens?
I have no clue. How far do they have to be apart?
15.
15 is the standard. I don't know if that's the actual visual.
Please.
Okay. Well, it looks like the sun will be at about like between 13 and 15 when Mars ingresses.
Yeah, it's like 1 degree Capricorn is like the 15 degree mark. There might be a text somewhere that's like Mars is, you know, combustion range is 12 degrees and Mercury is 14. And
it doesn't happen until the sun is in the early third decade of Capricorn.
Yeah.
That Mars becomes visible finally. Or so, no, maybe late second decade. How do you do math?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's the very, very, very late second decade.
So it's like, you haven't seen me. I guess that is kind of like
And now I'm exalted.
Yeah, like the return. It's very Return of the King, right? Like, like where has this, you know, figure been? Because it's... I mean, even the whole dignified transit of Mars through Scorpio...
Yeah.
Invisible.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't feel like we've had like strong Mars since like Aries Mars last year.
Yeah.
Which was like,
was that last year?
It was like last
summer. Oh, yeah, it was early
summer.
2022. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the 20, because the end of 2022 was the Gemini retrograde.
Right.
And
so, yes, because it was Jupiter and Mars and Aries together.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Norwalk, right? Was that Norwalk?
It was Norwalk.
Sorry.
Yes.
I was looking at the 2022 Mars cycle. What are we talking about?
That was the last time we had visible dignified Mars was
visible dignified Mars.
Was like Norwalk 2022. Because then we had the Mars retrograde and Aries, and now we have this Scorpio transit, but it's been invisible the whole time.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Oh, I'm about to go off. I'm about to go off.
You're like, come on, 10th house, exalted.
I'm so ready.
Mars transit.
I'm so ready. Fuck. Damn.
Deja, what degree is your Saturn at again?
13.
Okay.
Oh. I always forget that exalted Mars means overcoming Saturn.
Overcoming Saturn.
Yeah. That's the only thing. It's like, but it's also like,
In my mind, your all Saturn was earlier, and I was like, wow, is that heliacal rise happening like exactly square your Saturn?
No. It's not. The heliacal rise does happen, though, as like a balsamic moon moving from Sagittarius into Capricorn happens. So the moon will pass over Mars just as it has come out of. Like, just as it has come into visibility.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Nice. I have... nice. That's exciting. That's the Capricorn new moon, right?
Yes.
Mm.
Cool.
Mm. Oh, Mars. Mars returned for me. Well,
hell
in Sag.
Yeah.
So Mars and Sag, November 25th, and then square Saturn right away, same day.
Yep. You want to talk about the election on the
24th? Yeah. You know me, scrolling through, finding cute times to do things. There is a cute election using Eastern Time. It is November 24th at 9:36 in the afternoon. At night, sorry, at night. It's got mid-Leo rising with the moon on the midheaven applying to Jupiter in moon hour. Just cute. It's a Friday night. It's, right? It's Venus. Well, it's Venus Day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's super cute. Just after, not just after sunset, but sun is in the fifth. Venus is in the third in Libra. Pretty close to K2, 6 degrees away. And Rahu's in the ninth, which I don't love. That is Rahu's least favorite house. It's the house where he goes to die. So maybe don't use this for anything ninth house related, but it's got some really, really cute 10th house stuff with Moon Jupiter in the 10th with Moon exalted. Like, it's just so pretty. And if you're on the West Coast, you can probably actually get the moon closer to Jupiter, or maybe in mountain time, but not Pacific time, get the moon closer to Jupiter. In my time, in Eastern time, it's 4 degrees away from Jupiter. So it's got what, another 2 hours or 4 hours until it actually hits Jupiter. Something like that.
I like that nice applying aspect, though. That's nice.
Yeah, it's cute.
I think about what this would be good for.
Yeah, that's what I don't know. Saturn is tucked away in the eighth. Like, it's like just either just after or just before the Saturn Mars square. So, like, do not use things that are fifth or eighth house things, because the malefics are very tightly square there.
I like it's so not fifth. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just a degenerate, but my brain is like, good fucking.
moon Jupiter.
Moon Jupiter, very sun in fifth house.
Like, yeah, honestly.
I'm fucking dead.
Honestly, get fucked. Or just like do some drugs or something. Like,
yeah. Lord of the first and the fifth.
And like the Lord of the 12th is on the midheaven. So like, doing some drugs, getting real introspective.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, like drugs and art. Like
drugs and art, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, fun. That could be a fun, like, the sun is down. We're going to go into our cocoons and, you know, do some mushrooms and paint.
It sounds so fun.
Yeah. The Malefic Square is really yucky, but other than that, it's a pretty, pretty cute chart. It is just the square is applying, because the square doesn't happen until the next day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the night of Black Friday, right?
Mm-hmm.
24th.
Yeah.
Yes, it's Black Friday night.
Okay, moon applying to Jupiter. Good deals. Let's
get
some deals.
Let's get some.
Very true.
I was gonna say, but the Malefic Square is happening in the 8th, so maybe not with the money aspect. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe don't use your credit cards. Just use your debit cards or something. I don't fucking know.
Mars and Saturn
cash only.
Mars and Saturn in this specific configuration is really unfortunate. Four signs apart with Mars overcoming Saturn in Vedic astrology, because Mars casts a fourth house aspect and Saturn casts a 10th house aspect. So they are mutually aspecting, which doesn't often happen because of the way aspects work. So this is really, really hard. Like a really, really, really hard aspect to have. Specifically Mars 10 from Saturn.
Mutual application.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are they mutually applying, or is Saturn stationed? Saturn stationed.
No, Saturn is stationed. Yeah, Saturn stationed. Yeah, Saturn stationed.
But I mean, it's very, very, very slow.
It's very slow.
Yeah. Damn. I feel bad for whoever's birthday this is.
I have this in my chart because my Mars is still in Sidereal Sag and Saturn is in Sidereal Pisces. So I have this exact configuration.
Damn.
Yeah. Which is why I'm like, I know that it's...
Be prepared. Cool. Sweet. Okay. The full moon is next?
The full moon is next.
On the 27th?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or wait, do we want to keep talking about, do we have any like Mars square Saturn thoughts or significations we wanted to share at all, or do you want to just move on?
My Mars Saturn hard aspect analogy that I've been giving since it came to me while I was in Austin's year one course, like 3 years ago now, is frozen turkey in a deep fryer. So it's a recipe for an explosion, because you have something that's extremely cold and something that's extremely really hot, yeah, coming together. And so, and it happening on, you know, Thanksgiving weekend, make sure that your turkey is fully thawed before you put it into your fryer, because right, frozen turkey in a fryer is a grease explosion. Yeah. So.
Damn. Yeah, I'm already thinking about these the plans that I have. I'm nervous. We're supposed to be doing Thanksgiving at my house, which is fine, but I'm nervous for like what's, but Gabe's fam, there's weird stuff where like I used to be friends with cousins, but we're not friends anymore, and I feel like they're probably gonna sit by the house of the cousins that we don't talk to anymore, like me and Gabe being the we, and I'm just so curious to see, like, something's going to come out of that. And I'm just so nervous. So we'll see. God bless us all. God bless us all. Jesus.
God bless us. Everyone.
Yeah. Everyone.
Yeah.
What is that from?
No idea.
A Christmas Carol?
Christmas. Yeah, thank you. I was like,
crying. Well. Okay. Full moon in Gemini at four gem.
Yeah. I'm excited because it's, again, kind of going back to that conversation we were just having about Mars, is like the last Gemini full moon was Mars retrograde. Hmm. That's the last time we had that. And it was that occultation of Mars where the moon like actually physically passed in front of Mars. Hmm. And so, yeah, this, I'm excited to like, just let Gemini light up. It's past the hard aspect of Saturn, right? Like mm-hmm. that's already done. It's past the hard aspect to Mars. That's already done. You know, we're just moving on in Gemini at this point. We're done with the malefic mm-hmm. side of things.
The moon does not aspect anything until it hits Venus though in Libra.
At the very end.
Yeah. At the very end of Libra. Yeah.
So that's like, you've got this like full moon that's coming off of an opposition to Mars, right? So that's like a hot full moon. Yeah. And so I could see this one feeling kind of hot, elongated, but then mm-hmm. ending well.
And like, yeah. it had just hit Saturn. It had just hit Mars and it just hit the sun. Like mm-hmm. you are hitting three, the sun is a malefic. You're hitting three malefics in a row. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a full, basically a full day to get to Venus.
Yeah.
Like she's just sitting there, arms wide open, like, come here, baby. It's okay.
I'm a little, I don't know. This full moon makes me a little sad.
Yeah.
Like it's so sad. Like it's giving like, you know, full moons are already heightened emotions and lots of feelings and lots of like chatter about those feelings, or just because it's Gemini. And like the feelings are not good feelings. They're sad feelings. Mm-hmm. Feelings of hurt and stuckness. And yeah, hopefully Venus can help, but Venus is getting super close to K2. And I just feel she's like, here's a nice hug, but that's all I can give you for now. But the Cancer moon will be nice. It'll be a nice like break afterwards. So yeah. Damn.
Venus, I think, is the only planet that I like. If I had to choose one of the planets conjoining with one of the nodes, I would choose K2, I think, in every circumstance other than with Venus. I think Venus is the only one that I like better with Rahu.
Rahu.
Which is kind of annoying.
I remember you were talking about that because Venus can feed Rahu. Is that correct?
Yeah, Venus. Mm-hmm. Before Rahu and K2 split, Venus was the...
like caretaker. Like,
yeah. Rahu or Svarbanu, which is the snake, was the attendant to Venus.
Mm.
Mm. So I think about it getting along with like the head part. Whereas, you know, and like K2 wants to take things away. Venus does not like that.
Yeah.
She likes her things. Like, she's a girly. She likes her things.
Well, that's what's next.
Venus K2.
Damn. This is such like a damper.
Mm-hmm.
On this Venus transit.
Especially, yeah. Especially right here.
Yeah. Damn. What orb of influence would you give K2 to Venus, do you guys think?
Sign based.
Yeah, I'm yeah, like,
that's
yeah,
what I was thinking. I feel like it's kind of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So there's no way out of it, to be honest.
I think
more things get sucked away.
Rahu is set to destroy the sign that it's placed in, and K2 is set to destroy the nakshatra that it's placed in, or if it's the other way around. But I think it's Rahu destroys the sign, and K2 would only destroy the nakshatra. Whatever. Regardless, yeah, I would say the whole sign.
Yeah. Yeah, Venus K2 makes me sad. That makes me so sad, geez. It's okay. It feels like giving up something fun that you were supposed to do with your friends. Mm-hmm. And then they said, actually, I can't go. Actually, I hate you. And actually, remember what happened when we were kids? I remember that. And that's why I don't want to hang out with you anymore.
It just like it really leads into like the internal significations of Venus, which sometimes can be hard.
Yeah.
As opposed to like the physical manifestations of Venus, which are just nice and like cute. And but when you're forced to deal with like the other side of that, it's, I don't know.
Uncomfortable.
It's not comfy.
No.
And she just wants to be comfy.
That's all she wants. That's all she wants.
Little pillow princess.
Yep. That's what it is. She's the pillow princess and K2 is a gaping hole. They do not get along.
Yeah. You can only bump purses so much.
Yeah.
Trying.
It's because they're the only two bottom planets that much. I'm just saying.
They're competing for tops.
They're competing.
Fucking dead.
Any other thoughts on Venus K2?
I don't know. Maybe like finally being like, actually, I don't want to be this nice to you anymore. And kind of like not caring about, I don't know, a lot of like the eclipse stuff, and especially like in my seventh, so this was also very personalized to me being like, I don't like you specifically. But like I feel like even the Libra eclipse, it was a lot of it was like just saying like, fuck it, like there's nothing I can do to like change your mind, or there's nothing I can do to like get you to understand where I'm coming from, or there's nothing I can do to get you to change or to do anything. Like I just have to just say, just focus on myself. So I don't know. It's with Venus, the ruler of that eclipse that we just had kind of rolling through. It feels like, fuck it. You really can't. Like, you really can't. You really got to let it go. Sorry. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Release control.
So I found what I was referencing in Freedom's book. Rahu destroys the sun, the moon, and the sign that it is placed in. So it destroys like the light part. K2 destroys the planet, so the element, and the nakshatra that it is placed in or with, which is like the material and like the darker part. So.
Interesting. That's an interesting distinction. Yeah. That Rahu is more the fortune side of things, mm-hmm. and K2 is more the fate side of things. Just to think of like Rahu is more like the sun. K2 is more
destroying the yeah.
And when I say fate and fortune, I guess I'm more like spirit fortune, like a lot of spirit.
If Rahu is more inimical to the sun and matters of spirit,
mm-hmm.
And K2 would be more inimical to matters of fortune, which is the moon. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, because K2 destroys the Nakshatras, right?
Which is the
moon. The moon, which is, fortune, yeah. All the things.
Okay, Hermeticism. Okay, next, after that, Mercury into Capricorn on December 1st.
Nah. Start taking Mercury retrograde notes.
Oh, I mean, so true.
Should have already, but... Yeah, because it all the Mercury retrogrades start stationing retrograde in Earth signs, but station direct in fire signs.
Oh, right. This is the first one that will be
stationing.
Transitioning
out of that. Then we get the fire sign ones. Let's fucking go.
Mercury also enters shadow. We missed that, but on Saturday. So the day the sun enters, or no, the 25th. Which was what happens on the 25th?
Mars.
So the day of Mars into Sag, Mercury
Damn.
Is into shadow as well.
Dang. Nice.
So we are into Mercury shadow at this point. Fuck.
Oh, is that sense.
Before the full moon? Wait, when did you say it enters shadow? The 25th?
The 25th of November.
Dang. Interesting.
The day of the Mars, Saturn square.
Dang, it's really going to be interesting to see how that, like, Mercury... how the Gemini full moon, like, I don't know, I feel like it is all of that, like, heightened emotion, you know, being sad.
Do Mercury and Mars come together in Sag? Like, or sorry, do they have multiple conjunctions? Or are they too far apart?
Is it Sag or is it Capricorn that happens in?
No, they don't meet up in Sag. Oh, wait.
Yes, they do, yeah.
They do once, but...
The first one is in Sag, and then the other one is in
Cap.
Yeah.
Cute. Venus will be around, so that's nice. But ooh, and is it making an aspect to Jupiter? It is. No, it's not. Wait, I'm a liar. They're around each other. That could be cute.
24 Sag and 17 Capricorn, where they can join both times.
Okay. It'll be nice to have a Mercury in a practical, pragmatic. Let's do the things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make some plans. Let's get this shit going. Sort of sign.
Oh, and now. Mars, Mercury, and Venus are going to be in Capricorn together for like a decent amount of time.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. Very, very excited for that.
Damn, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I like Mercury in Capricorn, and I'm glad that we get some extended time with it. I think it'll be helpful and nice for planning. And going over the plans. And I also just love Mercury retrograde. It's the best time of the year. So I'm just, the older I get, the more I'm like, this is just the best time of the year. I don't know why anybody wants it to be any different than this.
And also Mercury will make multiple sextiles with Saturn.
Mm.
And so that idea of like revisiting and replanning, I feel like is so.
Mm.
Especially like with Saturn, it's got perception.
As the ruler.
Yeah, yeah. With Saturn as the ruler.
Right.
It's really interesting.
Yeah. And I also feel like Mercury will be able to give form to the, like, structure that Saturn is trying to figure out how to navigate. Because, I don't know, it's not really creating much structure, to be honest. But I think it'll be
nice. It's not giving structure.
No. It's not giving structure. It's giving vibes. So, Saturn in Pisces is so weird. For the first time ever in my life, I'm like...
What is happening?
What is happening? It is so weird. It's just so like blah and unmotivated and just so blah. Get it together. Oh my God. It's okay. I'm like allowing this like little like break
to be a break before Saturn return.
Don't say that. Don't even bring her up.
There's some other good astrology during that time that I feel like will make up for Saturn and Aries. So
Jupiter and Cancer.
Yeah,
Jupiter and Cancer is really the only thing.
Yeah. But then Jupiter goes into Leo, which I love.
I like Jupiter and Leo.
Yeah, that's
too.
Hot and sexy. You're right. Yeah. So, yeah, Jupiter and the luminary signs is just fun.
Fun. Yeah, good... Lots of fun. That's cute fun. Oh yeah. That's it. It's only for like a couple of months. Anywho.
So after Mercury and Cap in the first sextile with Saturn, we get Venus into Scorpio.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which is my favorite time of the year. I'm like, I want it to be like this all the time.
Fun. Venus things get funky again. But that's okay.
And like I feel like the conjunction with K2 will provide a very nice preamble to Venus and Scorpio.
True.
He is like really leading her into the dark.
The fall.
Into the dark.
The darkness.
There's a clip from season 3 of RuPaul's Drag Race where they are taking auditions from people like around the country and they play like clips of them. And there's one where this woman goes. She goes, "My name is Vivica Westwood Mugler, and we are in the middle of the Bronx, in the middle of the projects, in the middle of the night." And like, that is what is happening here.
Absolutely. That is hilarious. In the middle of the night.
Oh, God.
In the middle of the night. Yeah, I love Venus and Scorpio. Yes, she is fallen. Yes, I don't. Or not fallen.
Yep.
In detriment. Yep, that one. That one.
In detriment. Oh, sorry. that was in Virgo. Damn.
Yeah. Venus and Virgo, I hate.
Yeah, I don't like that either. It was really lame. It was just so uneventful and boring. I definitely feel the difference as a Venus and Time Lord person. I think it's so cute when, like, you have a Time Lord that's not fucking Saturn, but, like, you can actually, like, and see the difference and the progression of the planet and, like, how it's, like, coming up in your life every single time it's doing its thing. It's so cute and fun to me. It's so interesting.
Moving into my solar third house here, having been in it for only, like, a week and a half at this point. No, a week. I'm like, I need a routine. Like, I need a schedule. I need a semblance of a pattern and regular behavior.
I'm crying.
And it has been the funniest thing. I'm like, oh, yeah. Not having the fucking moon as your Time Lord is crazy.
Oh, how was that? That sounds
bro,
like...
I really don't even actually... I'm still processing it. I can't.
we'll do
an entire episode on...
Yes. Yes, please.
The moon as your Time Lord about to be eclipsed in the solar return.
Sounds horrible.
Okay. A lot of days I am not thankful for how heavy the nodes are in my chart. But it's when things with the luminaries happen.
You're like,
that
thank
can
God.
Be overwhelming. Like,
crying.
Thank you, my girls. You're great. I feel like it just makes things happen faster, and the bad things happen quicker, but so do the good things, I feel like, at the same time. So it's like this weird, like, yeah. Venus and Scorpio. Venus trine Saturn. Cute.
Cute stuff. Good stuff. Yeah. Rolls of trines. Mercury makes a trine to Jupiter too.
Yeah, we don't get any. Well, this is the kind of like lull I feel like we had all the hard things happen at the beginning.
At the beginning, yeah.
Because like the rest of Sag season is.
Yeah. This is interesting. I feel like the pace changes because it's like just all, everything going into fixed signs and then earth signs too. It's like, or with Mercury and Cap and like everything making an aspect to Saturn and a very slow stationing Jupiter. It's just, or is he stationing?
Oh, yeah.
A slow retrograde Jupiter. Like, it just feels so, we're trying to get there, but we're still not there. I don't think that, like, the good, like, the yes, we're moving doesn't really happen until Capricorn season. So what I'm, like, banking everything on, I'm like, Cap season. that's when it'll happen. I'm just tired of this. As a cardinal person, I want to do things, and I just feel so like, what like do I do?
You
got to
do what you're doing right now. That's the only option.
And it's like, this is not enough, but it's fine. What's it going to do? What's it going to do? Yeah, so that should be interesting. It's fun. It's like wild, chaotic, with Mars and Sag, and then quickly is like, actually, we're going back to Slowville. Oh, actually, now that you also think about it, Mars and Sag isn't making an aspect to either benefic at all.
I mean, it starts when Venus is in Libra. It is.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's
for like
true.
A very, very
yeah, it has like a sign based wide,
really wide fucking wide sextile.
Yeah. More of a square than a sextile, actually.
Yeah, yeah, we're not gonna feel that. We're not gonna feel that. Yeah, so I don't know. That's uncomfortable. I don't also don't like that because of just like after the Kazemi, Mars is like, I'm doing whatever the fuck I want to do for the next 2 years. So I'm just so it's just destruction and violence. And I guess getting your energy out there. I don't know. Yeah. So whatever.
Yeah. The first part of Sag season to me feels very like you've got a lot just like hitting each other, but it's all like aspects that stop things from happening. Like it's like squares to Saturns or like, like, so there's like aspects that are happening, but they're aspects that like stop things from happening.
Frustrating.
Yep. And then the second half of Sag season feels like nothing is happening. Like there's not even aspects perfecting.
We really get this like this bicorporeal idea of Sag season because it's basically like halfway through. There's like this complete shift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like the sun goes void after like, it's like
that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like.
Well, because the things we have left are Mercury trining Jupiter, Venus opposing Jupiter, the new moon, Mercury station.
Yeah, and all of those are averse to, except for the new moon, are averse to the sun. Right? Like
Yeah.
Wow, the sun is void. That is so funny.
And it happens like at 20 degrees, right? So then the sun has like 10 degrees of Sag.
Basically, where it's like the third decan of Sag.
And the third decan of Sag is the saddest decan of Sag.
Hey.
Damn.
I resent that.
It's true. That's where all my Sag placements are. Right, and we're right, so you're sad. We are the sad clouds.
It's because it's where the galactic center is. We are the void.
The void is us. I'm crying. Yeah, damn. Well, hey. It'll be okay. Well, the Venus Jupiter opposition will be interesting in comparison to the Venus Jupiter square we had a lot less over the summer. The few of those. Wow, we had a lot of those. A lot less flamboyant and gaudy and extra, a lot more sad and dark and emo, which I also feel like can be kind of fun. It's like a resurgence of
winter
of grunge.
It's winter. It's literally, it's like the darkest part of the year.
Yeah.
I just want to be sad and cuddled up.
Cold and cuddled.
I feel like you're dead. Well, that'll be interesting.
The third decan of Sag is like the cowboy hat emoji, but when you use it, when you do something
like sad
up,
cowboy,
yeah. You're like, not ghosted. Cowboy emoji. Like, that's that usage. Oh, yeah. Did either of you see, I don't know if it was a TikTok or like an Instagram reel, but some guy transcribed in the International Phonetic Alphabet.
Transcribed what? You cut out. Your mic peaked right when you said that.
He cut out like the music part. Yeah. He transcribed that in the IPA. Oh my God. It was so funny.
That was hilarious.
But yeah, it's the okr Deccan. That's what it is.
Crying. cool. Okay. Oh, Mercury Jupiter trines. Oh, that's actually cute though. I like that.
Yeah, now we get some contact with these inner planets and Jupiter, which I like. Mm. Like, you know, this second week of December, first week of December, it's like, yeah, like.
Oh, wait, this
Mercury
is.
Mercury trine, Venus opposition to Jupiter. Yeah, what is it?
No, because this is cute because, like, it's still like we're getting these like nice supportive Jupiter things, but then, like, at the end of the month, Jupiter will station direct. And then in January, at the beginning of cap season, we get more Earth stuff. But like now, even though Jupiter's super slow, like still, I feel like it'll be really interesting to see like the like how these like inner planets are interacting with Jupiter. And he's still like.
Yeah,
he has spent so much time in this like first decan of Taurus that. Like, he's just going to zoom through the third. Like, it's literally no one's business. Like, the second he was in, because he stationed. Did he station at, like, 12 or 14 or something?
18?
What was it?
I thought 15? It was, like, it was past my Mercury, so it was after 16. Because I remember 15. I got three hits to, yeah, so 15, really? It was
1534.9.
What degree is my Mercury at? Me not knowing my own chart.
Me not
knowing.
Let me just double check. Sometimes they can be wrong up there.
Oh, yeah. 1515 is my Mercury. So,
okay.
Yeah, three hits. I knew it was past my Mercury. So, for some reason, I always think my Mercury is at 16 and my spirit's at 15, but it's 1415. Just don't even know those degrees.
It's the 15th and 16th degree, which is 14 and 15.
You know, is it Pluto at 16 Scorpio? Let me add the outers back into my chart here.
I'm dead.
Where's Pluto? How do I even...
One of my coworkers was like, oh my God, are you feeling this Mars-Uranus square? Or this Mars-Uranus opposition? And I was like, well, I literally forgot what was happening. I was like, I don't have the outers in my phone.
You're fucking dead.
Yeah, Pluto's at 16 in my chart. And I have Mercury-Pluto opposition. So I think that's why I was...
Oh my God, my sun 16. Is on your Pluto. That's why we're like karmic.
Oh my God.
Dead. I feel like a dad.
Have either of you watched the Twin Flame documentary on Netflix?
Not yet.
Oh
not
my God,
yet.
It's fucking insane. You have to watch it. It's so good.
I'm very excited.
Oh, good.
I'm very excited.
I have to finish it. I've watched the first two episodes and then I had to stop and go to bed. So I have to watch the third one, but it's so good so far. I can't wait to finish it.
Any thoughts or advice for those Jupiter aspects, the Mercury trine to the Venus opposition?
You know, they're like the two good aspects we get all month, so like enjoy it.
All I can think is like write a poem. That's like
yeah,
like all I can think of it doing. I mean, Jupiter's retrograde, Saturn's in one of its domiciles, it can't see its other domicile.
No, it's Venus, not. What?
Saturn is in one of Jupiter's domiciles.
Oh, it I was like, Saturn see. Is not in its own domicile, is how I read it. I was
no,
like,
so sorry. Saturn like, it's for Jupiter,
for Jupiter.
Saturn is in one of its domiciles and it can't see its other domicile.
And like, the moon is very dark when this is all happening.
Yeah,
like,
Venus is in Scorpio. Yeah, like,
be sad.
Yeah.
It's cold.
It's like, it's like a cute, like hot chocolate or gloves during the winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To prepare you for the sadness.
Go watch Elf. It's prime Elf watching time.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's giving stay inside
mm-hmm.
and enjoy your home.
Decorate for the holiday if you haven't yet.
True. True.
Yeah. Venus-Jupiter opposition. That's a cute put up the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
True, yeah.
Light me up, put me on top. You know that Lady Gaga song?
Yeah.
Ho, 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 under the mistletoe.
There's a Christmas song that Slater does with somebody else. I forget who it is, but it's called All I Want for like XXXmas. And I think this opens with All I Want for Christmas is to get fucked, get my dick sucked, something, something, something. And I put it on one day with my mom in the car last Christmas. And I wish I had taken a reaction video of what she said. Oh my God.
That was hilarious.
To listen to your favorite raunchy Christmas music.
Yep. And then the new moon. Right? At 20 Sag on the 12th.
Moon.
Yeah.
There's nothing around that.
Mm-mm. No.
Wait, now I have to look at this.
The only planet that I can see is Saturn.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Damn, that's so sad. Mm-hmm. And Mars. Well, Mars is early, but.
And the nodes. And like it's with Mars. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of like about this is that the emergence of the moon's light, you know, 10, 12 degrees later, is past the Saturn sextile and applying now toward Mercury, right? Yeah. It's like this conjunction with Mercury, which like, ooh. I like Mercury in an Earth sign. I like
the connection to a retrograde Mercury because it will be freshly
stationed. Like next day.
Wow, yeah, you're right.
So, which I don't necessarily hate. Like, so whatever the Mercury retrograde is going to be about is indicated on this day.
And Mercury and Venus are making a sextile to each other. Venus is at 8 in Scorpio, so that actually is not bad.
Oh, that's like that's so rare when that actually happens, when there's like a
an
actual degree-based sextile between Mercury and Venus, I feel.
Yeah, because they both have to be essentially almost at maximum elongation, opposite sides.
Yeah.
So
it seems like the time leading up to the new moon is shitty, and then like a couple of days, like a day or two after the new moon is over, things start to seem a little bit more happy.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully, it will be maybe. Venus is the only thing in Scorpio, and Mercury is the only thing in Capricorn at that point, right? Other than the moon.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So yeah,
and
the
Jupiter's
sun
and Taurus.
Yeah. So the sun and Mars are almost like hemmed by benefics on both sides. Mm. Like if you think about the signs that they're next to, like it's just Venus and then it's the moon and Mercury. So they're just giving the sun and Mars like a nice look.
Yeah. I also like Venus, Mercury, Moon, Saturn, Jupiter all being in like Earth water.
Yeah.
So like they all kind of have this aspect to one another.
Mm-hmm. And Taurus is the only Earth sign that Jupiter like actually likes.
Yeah.
So at least kind of.
Enough.
Yeah,
enough.
Neutral toward.
He's neutral. Like,
is it, yeah, is it like I don't like is it actively not liking being there? Yeah.
Right. That's cute. Well, sad new moon vibes, but better days afterwards.
And then that whole like last decan of Sag, nothing happens.
Really. Nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
And then it's cap season.
And then it's cap
season. I mean, the moon will trine Jupiter from the moon. I mean, the moon obviously does its thing, but the moon will be separating from Jupiter and applying to Mercury, and then from Mercury and applying to Venus. Mm. So there's like this triple benefic thing on that day, at least.
That's cute.
Yeah, damn. That's ass.
Mercury basically stations on the trine to Jupiter, so Mercury will hit Jupiter again.
Okay, that's I like that. That's cute. That's better than nothing.
Oh, I mean, Venus will oppose Uranus on the 20th for the outer girlies. Whatever that is.
When does Uranus leave Taurus? Anyway, is that this year? Is that 2024? Or is it later? Me too, actually.
Okay, we're going to take a brief break.
Yeah, but then we're almost done, so. Okay, BRB.
Okay, we're back. We all needed a potty break, but we're back now. And now, just in time, coming back to just say, that's Sag season.
That's it.
You get what you get and you don't get upset.
You get what you get and you don't throw a fit. you know, depends on if you're from the Midwest or from the East Coast. That's how you say that phrase.
You get what you get. You don't throw a fit.
You get what you get and you don't throw a fit, or you get.
That doesn't even rhyme.
Well, that's because I don't say get. I say get. Because I'm a fucking hick.
Okay. How do you say bag?
Bag.
Bag.
Yeah.
Okay. You say it.
I don't say big.
Big?
Who says that?
I had a roommate US, from
like Michigan,
Illinois. Yeah.
Who says big?
They also are, I don't know if it's just her, but her and her friend who are from there. They're from outside of Chicago. Things with double T's, like mitten and kitten. They say mitten, kitten.
Mitten, kitten.
Mitten, kitten. Curtain.
Kitten.
Yeah, any harsh consonant that could be not announced, they announce.
Yeah, they do the nice plosive T's.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. I should have been a linguistics major.
I was a music major, which is why I know so much about IPA. Yeah, yeah. Do I know how to speak French? No, but if you put it in front of me, I'll sound okay.
I know. I can convince you that I do.
Yeah. All right. Well,
buckle up.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, we'll hopefully be back with a Canadian recording season.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.